ladies, my name is Kendra. If you don't know me and this is the first you're ever seeing of me, well, what you see is what you get. So it's not that unusual for me to be imperfect, but that's okay, right? I know it's okay. I don't need your affirmation of that. So I actually have three kids. I have a 15-year-old, and I know what you're thinking. No, I did not have my son when I was 10 years old. So I have a 15-year-old. He's learning how to drive. And you guys, he's actually really good at it. Mom's ridden with him. Mom, is he an okay driver? Very excellent driver. He's got one of those oldest child personalities. He's very meticulous with the things he does, so I'm not surprised. It's kind of in his nature. Now, when number two becomes a driver, watch out, world. He is not so meticulous. In fact, this kiddo, he's our athlete. This is Teo. Teo is 13, and he goes to school right over here at Sabin Middle School. He's an eighth grader, and Teo's our athlete. And it's he's always been into sports. Ever since he was about 5 years old, he's loved football and wanted to be a football player, and he is a football player now. He's a wide receiver for the school's football team, and I expect he'll play for the high school next year. So that's going to be crazy. Having one kid in high school felt weird, like, wow, I'm really a grown-up now. But having two in high school, I think, are you the mops, ladies? I think you guys understand. It's hard to imagine they're ever going to get that just big. And I know some of you are like, oh, Kendra, watch out. Yes. And so my 13-year-old, when he was young and he first started getting into sports, he loved to run. He has a very competitive nature. And so he would always like to see, of course, how fast he could be, right? So what he would do is he would run. And while he was running, he would look to see how fast he was. So he would run like this. Watch out. He would run like this. Much faster, right? And he was constantly running into things and tripping over things. And we would be like, Teo, you've got to look where you're going. Well, just this last week, I finally did what, is it Jen Wilkin, the author of our study? What she said to do, and I read the entire book of James all at once. I know we're all supposed to do that. I just finally got to it. If you haven't done it yet, I do highly recommend it, but I can understand. It's hard to get to. And what I felt like overall the entire book of James was saying is, what are you looking at? Not what are you looking at, but I mean, what are you looking at? Where are you looking as you run this race? As we get to the rest of James later on, bit by bit, there's going to be all these commands. And to me, it's kind of exhausting to read. Kind of, it's convicting, which is great. And then it's like too convicting and it's exhausting and I just want to go take a nap because I give up, right? And so what I think, though, he's really saying is get your eyes off of the world. The world is not going to be able to meet your needs. Being rich is not going to meet your needs. Having a sharp tongue is not going to fulfill your greatest desires. Get your eyes off of the world, eyes on me. And that's what I really feel. That's what I really believe that God is telling us in the book of James. What are you looking at? I was in dance when I, let's see, starting in sixth grade, something like that. I was in dance. I broke my arm in gymnastics, and I gave up on that. That's too painful. I'm going to switch to dance. So who here, like, knows dance? Yeah, I figured we'd have a couple. Good. Okay, what are these? I can't do it well, but I'm going to do it anyways. What are these things called? Right? Pirouette, really? I thought I had a different name. What I remember learning about doing those, which I did terribly because it's actually kind of hard to do, is spotting. You've got to be looking every time you turn. You've got to look real quick because where you're looking is where your body's going to go. And that's what I failed to do. I couldn't get my head whipped around fast enough and I ran into the podium, right? Where you're looking is where you're going to go, and that's what the book of James is about. What are you looking at? So I want to read through a few different verses to get us started. First of all, our passage here, James 1, 12 through 18. She did 13 through 18, but we're going to start at 12. First of all, James 1, 12 through 18. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot tempt with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Death is essentially desire's grandbaby. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now I want to go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. You can turn with me or you can just listen. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction, sure doesn't feel like it in the moment, but this is the truth here. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And finally, 2 Timothy 2:22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. What these verses are all about is keeping our eyes on God, looking at what is eternal as we walk through this hard stuff of life instead of what is temporary. So walking really quick through James 1, verses 12 through 15, I thought it was really interesting. Did you guys talk about in your group? It's kind of tricky, isn't it? The way they move, he moves, straight from talking about trial and how we're supposed to be so thankful for these trials and God is working a great thing out in our life. Consider it joy, he says in chapter 1. And then it says, blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Yay! And the next verse, or next even section of the sentence, which God has promised to those who love him, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. She moves, or he, I don't know why I think because of the Bible study writer, I keep wanting to say she. He, James, God, moves straight from trial into temptation. Are these two separate things? Did you all talk in your groups about how the Greek word for this is actually the same word? Just to confuse us all even more? That's what it feels like. I called my husband, Steve. He works here at the church, and I said, I don't understand why this is the same word. We have trials, and we're supposed to consider them joy, and then we get tempted, and we're not supposed to blame God. And it is very confusing. It's also the same word in the Lord's Prayer where it says, lead us not into temptation. And this is what I think. I think we can almost, in our English language, we can substitute the word testing. Because there is two types of testing, right? There's first of all the fact that we live in a broken world. And it is hard. And sometimes we're trusting in God, we're being good Christians, doing the Christian stuff, going to church, going to Bible study, and maybe we can start to think that if I'm doing the spiritual checklist, then God owes me the blessings. And then something comes along, illness, financial struggles, broken heart. And these things come along and we suddenly, just our entire spiritual foundation is thrown, is broken up. And we say, now what? And that's where the temptation comes in. Again, it's a test. Are we going to stand firm? It says in verse 12, steadfast under trial, continuing to look at our God and know that he is good and know that he loves us and he has a good and perfect plan for us. We're going to look to him. If we do, we get the crown of life in the long run when we're glorified in heaven. Or maybe what we're going to do is start to believe lies about God. I know I myself sometimes when I'm tempted to start to look to another source of life, if I think if I think God isn't cutting it for me, life is really hard and I've been doing the good things and I'm supposed to get the blessings and this isn't working, I'm going to meet my own needs my own way. And if I want to do that, the way I tend to do it is by starting to convince myself of lies about God. He's holding back. He's holding out on me. I have a friend. This one just breaks my heart. It makes me want to strangle someone. I have a friend who walked with God for 4 years in college. Seemed like it. I don't know. But I was walking with her. I was discipling her, and she seemed to do so well in college. And right after college, she got into a terrible car accident. And on top of the terrible car accident and the injuries, she had a huge insurance struggle. And it was too much. She just felt like, I cannot handle this. And she thought, where is God? God, where are you? You know everything that the Psalms are saying. Where are you, God? Have you forsaken me? And so she read a book. I hate this book, and I hate the author. This book taught, I don't know the name of it. Fortunately, I'm not going to tell you it. But this book taught that yes, God loves you, but the spiritual battles are hard. And so God is very busy sometimes fighting these hard spiritual battles. And though he loves you, he might not be able to get to your stuff right now. Oh, when she told me that, I couldn't believe it. But that's how it works sometimes. Sometimes we start to believe lies about our God, or we start to doubt because maybe somehow, I can't imagine, but maybe there's comfort in thinking that I need to be in control of my own destiny, because sometimes we think we can't trust God with that. So I'm going to go find my pleasure, find my happiness somewhere else. I want to give you a little illustration here. Well, one thing that it says in verse 14 is it says that each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Those are interesting words, aren't they? Lured and enticed. Tim Keller talks about how these words, lured and enticed, and then moving into desire conceiving and giving birth to sin, he talks about the kind of sexual illustration that James uses here, which is just, it's an interesting choice of an illustration. But there's something here about being drawn, being trapped, being almost like the sirens are calling to you, and it's hard to resist. And I think this is an intentional trap that Satan sets, because he wants to call us away, and we could ignore Satan if we were perfect, but we're not. And so we're tempted by our own flesh, by our own desires. And sometimes these desires are even good things. Tim Keller says that the way sin works is not that we want bad things, it's that we want things so badly. The way sin works is not that we want bad things, it's that we want things so badly. And the word here in 2 Timothy 2:22, the verse that I read that says, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. That word, flee youthful passions, is a word, it's Tim Keller's favorite word. If you ever listen to his stuff, he brings it up every time he has a chance. It's, I don't know how you say it, but you probably don't care very much. It's something like epithumia, and it means over desires. It's desires, but it's too much desires. These over desires feel so heavy, so burdensome to us, and then we start to think of a place where we can set them down. So what I want to do is we're going to do a little craft project. You're not going to do anything, don't worry. You're going to sit there and watch me. But I want to talk, first of all, about some of these desires that we all have. Remember, Tim Keller says that these desires aren't bad things. It's just that we just want them so badly that we look to the wrong things to meet them. What are some good and natural desires that we women or people have? And I'll start, love, right? So that's your easy freebie. Do you guys have any you want to tell me? Good natural desires that God has given us. They're not bad things, but sometimes they lead us to bad things. Perfect children. Yeah. What else? Health. Comfort. What? Yes. I'm calling security to be safe. Not for any reason. That's just the way I thought of it in my head. What else? Money. Security, again, really. But we'll go ahead and put money on there. Yep. What else have we got? Health. I got health. Good. What else? Looking good. Beauty. Peace. Somebody say peace. Ah, good food. Pleasure. I'll call that pleasure. How about, are you guys not like me? Approval, right? Oof. I'm going to call that one validation. All right. Did I forget any important ones, you think? Huh? Ooh, I like that. Honor. Glory is what, who's that guy, Randy Pope? He calls it glory. Huh? There was another one. Belonging, intelligence. Good, good, good. Okay. Intelligence takes a long time to write. Okay. What does that say about my intelligence? Okay, these are all the things we've got to carry around. Real, true needs all the time, right? I'm walking my whole life, this whole journey of life with these things. I kept a few out. Let's see. Microphone. I'm like, if I sit, will you guys be able to see me? There's something I want to do here. A few of these just seem to kind of really eat my lunch every day more than others. You know what I mean? This validation, approval one. Okay. Validation. How about this? To be safe, security. Oops, I keep starting the tape before I have the thing folded. You over there who can't see what I'm doing, don't worry, I'll show you in a minute. You'll see it in a minute. Oh, you can't read this one, but it says to be safe. I folded it funny. Okay, one more. Love, right? This is just an everyday, every momently need to be loved. Okay, this is what I get to do. Oh, can I have my ladies, my volunteers, my voluntolds come up? Oh. Come over here and pick one of those papers and hold it up. This is it, right? This is life. And so I'm walking along, and I've got these needs, and I am exhausted. I'm so tired of carrying this stuff every day of my life. And I'm walking along. Over there, you see those papers? That's essentially God. And I'm walking along, and I'm looking at God, and I'm walking with God, and then I glance over here. Hey, you guys know the feeling. It's the same feeling as when you glance at the snack table, but you told yourself you weren't going to eat anything, right? And you think, but wait, are there any deviled eggs? I really like the deviled eggs. What kind of chocolate things, or pumpkin, right? What kind of pumpkin things are there today? So you're walking along, and you glance. Oh, that looks good. What these say, by the way? This one right here says ungodly relationships or sexual immorality, adultery. This one here says control or manipulation. And this one here says gossip or quarreling. So I'm walking along and I think, ungodly relationships, sex, you can help me. I've got something for you. Please, will you take this? Oh, thank you. Oh my goodness, thank you so much for taking it. Take this. Here we go. You take that. Oh, there. I feel, oh, no. Dang it. It's not working. This thing cannot meet my need, right? Okay, well, that didn't work. Thanks a lot. Next, we've got control and manipulation. Oh, I've got one for you. I need to be safe. Can you take that, please, and help me feel safe? Oh, thank you so much. Oh no, it didn't work. I thought maybe if I could control my world, I could finally feel safe, right? And then I come over here, gossip and quarreling. We talked about this in our group. You know, I was thinking a lot of times this one starts with something smaller. Don't they all start with something smaller? You don't jump into adultery, right? Quick side note, you guys just stand here with me. There's this book called Get Out of That Pit by Beth Moore. Interesting book. And she talks about how there's three different ways we slide into a pit. And a pit is just someplace where you feel stuck, a place of despair. She says one of those ways is by getting knocked into the pit by someone else. Another way is just slip sliding into the pit. And another way is jumping right in. And I think a lot of times when we're trying to walk with God and we're doing this Christian thing and we're looking to God, but we're carrying our needs, a lot of times we just slowly slip into the pit. What was that song somebody in our group mentioned by Casting Crowns? Slow Fade. I actually wrote down the, you guys just keep standing there. And I know I'm holding these boxes forever and they're making me tired. That's part of the whole point, isn't it? It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white have turned to gray. Thoughts invade, choices are made, a price will be paid. When you give yourself away, people never crumble in a day. That's the chorus of that song. So maybe, I'm not going to jump right to gossip and quarreling. Maybe I'm going to go to comparison first. Because that one doesn't really feel like a sin. I know I shouldn't do it as a principle of life. But if you start with comparison, suddenly, when you feel like you're one down from someone else, then any time you can knock them down a notch, you're going to feel better about yourself, right? And so maybe I'm comparing myself to someone, and then I find out their kid, I don't know, is failing math. Oh, my kid's good at math. And now I can feel better about myself. I can rejoice in their hardships and feel better about myself. And what happens with that one? Is that this one? Validation. You carry this, please. Oh, thank you. So, oh, dang it. It never works. Turning to the sins is never the thing that solves our real needs. In Psalm 42:5, I have verses on the ground. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" Well, you know why? Because I keep trying to feed my soul with the wrong things. That's why I'm so downcast. And it says instead, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." That's Psalm 42:5. You ladies can sit down. Thank you. You can just leave your papers here. All right, so instead, I think this is not working for me, and I'm ready to turn to God. Oh, and that is the beauty of it, ladies, is this is either I'm going to choose to live here in the sin and find new life, so to speak, in this sin, and that will lead to death. That will be the testing that proves that I did not have genuine faith. But if you do believe in Jesus as your Savior, you will not live here. God will be nudging you and saying, "This isn't feeding your soul. Come on, Kendra. Let's go. Let's keep on this journey." So we keep walking, and this path to God is such a beautiful, beautiful, there's a beautiful set of verses on this path to God. And guess how I phrase it is, this path is paved with amazing verses from God's word. And they're literally on the ground here. The first one is Isaiah 1:18. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be white like wool." Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Do you know what this reminds me of? I mean, I don't look much like a bride as I'm carrying my millions of burdens and needs and boxes, but I'm walking and progressing toward my Savior, my groom. That's the joy set before him. He thought, oh, I'm going to die on this cross because I want them to come to me. Isn't that incredible? Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, tested as we are, and yet was without sin. In other words, he never actually walked over and tried to hand his boxes to the sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Isn't that incredible? God says, have you been trapped by sin? Oh, I get it. Come on, let me help you. Isn't that incredible? I love that this is followed by a let me help you sentence. And then 2 Timothy 2:22, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So here we are. We get over here to God, and I know you can't read these. I did not have a dark enough Sharpie. But it says on top, Matthew 11:28. Do you guys know Matthew 11:28? That one says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Huh, I am so sick of carrying these boxes. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So it says here, these are the words from 2 Timothy 2:22, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And I come over here and I so desperately need validation. Validation goes with righteousness. Validation. Thank you, God. I so desperately need to be safe, to feel safe. And right here, peace. Thank you, God. Oop. Yay. And then finally, love. Well, love, right? But here's the reality of it. Have you ever felt like you go to God with your needs and it just doesn't feel like they're gone? I mean, because I feel that all the time, like all the time. My greatest need is rest. Like, oh my goodness, my greatest need is rest. I so badly just need a couple of hours on my couch every day. A couple of hours. I'm not just talking like 20 minutes. I know you mops moms can relate. And yet somehow I feel like over and over and over, God is saying, hold on, beloved, I love you. I'm the one who gives rest, but you're going to need to just walk with me. I'll help you with that box, but you're going to be carrying it for a while. So just an encouragement to you, if you feel like you've come to God and he hasn't taken all of your burdens off of you, it's not that you're doing it wrong or that he's lying. It's that sometimes in this journey, he wants us to keep on carrying our boxes and walk with him. Because it's in our weakness that we learn to rely on his strength, isn't it? So looking really quick, oh, I get to take these off. Got my workout for the day. Looking really quick at the end of our passage, James 1, verse 16, it goes on to say, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That is so Bible-y. I'm going to rephrase it really quick. Of his own will, because he wanted to, it made him happy to do this. He brought us forth. He gave us a new life by the word of truth, by Jesus. It made him happy to give us new life by Jesus. Isn't that incredible? What an incredible gift. Ladies, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Beth Moore, in her book, Get Out of That Pit, this is what she says. Here's the deal. God wants everything you've got. Uncontested priority. Every egg in one basket, all your weight on one limb. This very moment, he has his fingers gripped on your chin, saying, right here, child, look right here. Don't look right or left. Stare straight into my face. I'm your deliverer. And that's the truth of it right there. Psalm 41 through 3 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Are you ready to trust him? I think all of our temptations come from our trials. Every single last one of our temptations comes because we have a lack, because there's something we desperately want that we don't feel like we have yet. And it's true. Sometimes our needs aren't going to be perfectly met as long as we're here on earth. But what are you going to do with that temptation? Are you going to stand firm and continue to look at your God and keep your eyes on him? Or are you going to glance to the side and find yourself distracted by these stupid, terrible things that can't even meet your need for a second? I call that spiritual Snickers bars. We know we're supposed to eat the good and healthy food. That's what they all told me. And yet sometimes I just think, but I want a Snickers bar. Snickers really satisfies, right? That's what the commercials say. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. What are you looking at? Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the truth of your word. I thank you that when the trials come, that you are our strength. I thank you that you won't let us wallow in sin and live in the pit forever because we are your children. And I thank you that you pull us away and you say, I have a better way, daughter. And I pray that each of us will turn our eyes from worthless things and look to you and keep our eyes on you. I pray that you will teach us over the next few weeks how to do that. And in your name we pray, amen.